Amen. I want to tell you everything that God had to say is summed up in these two verses. And here we are at the end of the series. And we end where we started on love. Christianity. It's not what you think. Because you can define Christianity to anything you want to define it to. And many people will give you many different interpretations of what the word Christianity means. But we're are followers of Jesus. That is what God called the disciples to be, followers of Him. What did He say to Peter as he was on the shore? He said to them, leave your nets, come and what? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said, come and follow me. He said to the rich man, when the rich man asked about eternal life, he said, go sell your possessions and come and follow me. You can define Christian any word you want. You can put any phrase of Christian you want. But a Christian is someone who was a follower of Jesus. Someone who has decided that they are going to follow Him. And Jesus said, this is the way that I want you to follow me. I want you to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is how I want you to follow me, by loving God in that way. And He said, I'm going to add something new. And He said, this is the new thing that I've got for you. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And that is a hard thing, because our neighbors might not be the best neighbors in the world. Those who live next to me are fortunate and blessed. But not everybody has neighbors. And there used to be a program on called Neighbors, I forgot the end of it, but it was Neighbors from Hell. That's what it used to be called, Neighbors from Hell. And people would fight and have disputes over the smallest things and issues, and it grew into where they were. It was awful. And Jesus was saying, do you know what? You have to love those who hate you. You see, that's radical. He said, if you want to be my disciple, then this is it. The church is at its best when it embraces truth and grace and refuses to let go of either. The church is to be the dispensator both of truth and grace. The truth is, we need a Savior. The world needs a Savior, otherwise Jesus wouldn't step down from heaven's glory. This world needs a Savior. And it won't be found in politicians. It's found in Jesus Christ. The world needs Jesus. That's the truth. And grace says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in all its fullness. Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we may not like it, but God has not altered His statement. Jesus is the only way for salvation. There is no other way into God's presence this morning but through Jesus. You can come no other way. Now, you might say that is hard. You might say that's bigotry. You might call it anything you want to call it. But God says this is the way to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm sorry if it offends you this morning. We're not meant to offend this morning, because grace says that God loves you this morning and God wants you to come into a relationship with Him this morning. But the truth is, you must come through Jesus. But grace says you can come. Grace says it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. You can come to Jesus this morning. I don't care where you are. Jesus says you can come. That's grace. And the reason God wants you to come, because the truth is, you need a Savior. Whether we like it or not, we need a Savior. And Christian is someone who has embraced both the truth and grace. And that's the series we've gone through. We've seen what a disciple of Jesus means. And it starts off with love, and today it's going to end in love. We've talked about, I'm not going through it, the series is going to be produced in a booklet, and the booklet will be given to you for those of you who want it. We're not going to print books out for those who don't. And in that, as I say, are 60 questions on each. There's 10 questions, I believe, on each of the topics that are up on that board there now. Because I want you to know that if you're saying you're a Christian, if you're telling me you're a Christian, you're saying you're a follower of Jesus. And you're telling me that love is the theme of your life. You're telling me that we have to treat in people who don't know God's grace by loving them. Not imposing our values and principles on them, but making an impact on them by the way we live our lives as salt and light. We need to get away from angry behavior. And we need to get away from loopholes. You see, with Jesus, there are no loopholes. You either obey or you don't obey. We've discovered that. Listen, the followers of Jesus do not look for loopholes. They do not look for shortcuts in their faith. Instead, they've aligned their hearts with the loving heart of God. And in every situation, they ask this question, which finishes our series this morning. What does love require of me? Because God said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God wants. God requires that we love him and we love our neighbor. So, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, this is the filter through which we're to make every decision. The rest of Scripture is simply commentary on how to love in this way. You see, the disciples of Jesus used Scripture as a mirror. Every day they would ask that question, what does love require of me? You see, I can be a Christian and fit it into anything that I'd like to fit it into. Which is why we're so diverse. Which we've got so many different aspects of Christianity. But there's one thing you cannot have in diversity. It's unity. In the sense of this. If we are a disciple of Jesus, we are to love God. And then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, some people came to Jesus with a trick question. They wanted him to tell him the greatest of the hundreds of all the Old Testament commandments. That's what they wanted. And this is how Jesus replied. What maze he wrote. Jesus says, if you want to fill every single commandment that's ever been written down to the Jews, I can take it all in two little phrases. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This means every time we pick our Bibles up for guidance. It means every time we want to have a lesson from our Bible. Every time we look at scriptures and we look at pages, we have to say, what does the Bible say about this topic? We are to make sure we look at this through a loving God with all our hearts and our souls and our minds. And we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the greatest influence that we can have on a world today. It is the greatest. We won't have to impose ourselves on people. The impact of our love towards our fellow brothers and sisters will be enough for them to change their minds. We need to understand that if we want to impact the world in which we live, the theme of our lives has to be love. There has to be a love of generosity that comes from us. We are to be different. Because our greatest issue with life is that we are to bring the love of God into every human being that we meet. Every human being needs to understand that God loves them. God loves them. You see, there are two categories of people who have influenced your lives profoundly. They are the people who have loved you, and there are the people who have hurt you. I want to tell you this. The greatest impact in my life was not that somebody knew all the Bible off by heart. It was that that person loved me in the midst of what I was going through. They loved me. They profoundly impacted my life because they took me as I was, and they loved me, and they shaped me, and they formed me, not by their religion, not by the scriptures in which they knew. They loved me, and they simply loved me. You see, their actions and their words made a difference. The Christian needs to live by a word called behavior. And you know, you can know your Bible off by heart. You can know every page of it off by heart. And you can be the biggest imposer in the world and not have the biggest impact in the world. And we've done this. We've taken Scripture and we use Scripture and we've battered people with Scripture. I can remember as a 17-year-old boy standing to take communion, and I had chewing gum. And I had some chewing gum in my mouth. And I remember this elder took me to one side and he publicly dressed me down. He hurt me like no other hurt me because I was eating chewing gum. I don't know what scripture he used, but he had a profound impact on my life. The elder of our church came around to see me and he says, "Oh, just try and ignore what he'd said to you." But you see, the wound had gone too deep. I tell you, by the word, you can either kill someone or you can make someone live. It's not what we know that is going to impact this world and the community in Pipe's. It's not how much we know. It's how much we love. In truth and in grace. Our obligation is to love others. Our privilege is to have an influence on others. And in order for this to happen, we need to do three things, finally. I want to give you these three things. There are three things and three handles in your life that you need to embrace as we finish this series. One is, don't do anything that hurts you. Number two, don't do anything that will hurt someone else. And thirdly, don't do anything that masters you. When we are free to fully engage in these things, we will see change in our community. See, if we want to influence, we need to unleash a love and a grace. And we need to understand that, first of all, in order for us to become followers of Jesus, we need to understand that we need to do nothing that is going to hurt us. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean simply this. Love requires that you do nothing to hurt yourself. You never make a moral decision. You never make a sexual decision. You never make an ethical decision, a relationship decision, or a professional decision until you first have come to the grace and to the throne of God, and you've submitted that to the throne and grace of God, that you know that God loves you with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And listen, there's too many of us living in a world in which we are doing our own thing, when followers of Jesus means that we submit these things that might harm us to God. Love requires that we never make a decision that might harm us. You see, God knows what's best for me, even though sometimes I don't think that. And I want things to happen that isn't happening. But God is saying, listen, love requires that you will worship me with your heart, your soul, your mind. We've been desecrated without musicians today. But God is saying, whether you've got musicians or CDs, it doesn't matter. Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and worship. And we saw it this morning in your way that you worship God. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter whether we have 1,000 musicians or we have no musicians. We are here to worship God. Love me, he says, with all your heart, with all your soul. And what he's saying is this, if you do that, you will never make a sexual decision that is going to hurt you. Because I tell you, we're all looking for love. I don't care who you are this morning, you're looking for love. Some people are looking at the wrong place. And as Christians, we know that God says about sex. We know it. And it's wonderful in the confines in which God created it. Anything else hurts you. Because why? Because it hurts Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Never make a decision that's going to hurt you, because if it hurts you, it hurts Jesus. How many times has your children disobeyed you and it hurts you as much as it hurts your child? Am I right? Your child can't do something that doesn't hurt you. And you use that favorite saying when you're going to punish people, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Don't you? You use that favorite saying. Then why do it? But Mom still did, by the way. But I used to say, well, listen, you don't have to. If this is going to hurt you, Mom, more than it's going to hurt me, just don't do it. That was the wrong context, by the way. In other words, when I went out after that man hurt me, I went out and I lived a life, I lived a life that my mom was in so much pain over. Night after night, I would hear her in her bedroom on her knees crying. The reason I'm standing here this morning is because my mom spent hours on her knees begging God that the pain that I had suffered would be healed by His grace. Because I wasn't just hurting. My mother was hurting. And you know, I want to tell you, Christians, if we say we're Christians and follow Jesus, sometimes our words will deeply hurt people. Jesus never backed off from the truth, but He was always full of grace. When you hurt yourself, you're hurting God. The Bible says, don't you know that you are a temple of the living God? I want to tell you, that's a question. Every moral decision you make will hurt your Savior. Never do anything. What does love require of me? Love requires that I'll do nothing to hurt myself. Nothing at all to hurt. Two, love requires you do not hurt anyone else. Jesus Christ died for the next door neighbor who may be the neighbor from hell. Jesus Christ died for your boss who may want you to do things that you know was unethical. And I've told you the story before. Avril's boss wanted Avril to say to her, I'm not in, as Avril picked the phone up. And Avril refused to do it. Because he was in. It didn't go down well. But you see, she made a decision that was a moral decision that wouldn't hurt Jesus. Because I'm telling you something. If you'd said, oh, he's not in, and you knew he was in, that's a... And by the way, there are no grey lies. There are lies. Full stop. Got to say no. I want you to make moral decisions. I want you to pay your taxes. I don't want you to be looking for loopholes on how not to pay your taxes. Seriously. Because that hurts God. God has given us standards in which we, if we are followers of Jesus, need to buy into. And then this might be a difficult, hard sermon. It might not be a sermon that goes down palatable. But listen, God said, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if I love my neighbor as I love me, I'm not going to hurt them. No, seriously. If I love my neighbor as I love me, and every morning I get up and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the gorgeous one of all? And every time I see me, there's never been a day that I haven't seen anybody else but me as I look in that mirror. That's myself. How gracious am I to my neighbor? How gracious am I to my boss? How gracious I am. No, I'm not going to do anything unethical. I'm not going to make an immoral decision. But I'm still going to love him. Because love requires of me that I do nothing to hurt myself. And I will do nothing to hurt anyone else. And finally, love requires that I do nothing that will help me to be mastered. You should not be addicted to anything. You should not be addicted to anything. The only master you should have is Jesus. Can I be serious on that? You should not be addicted to anything. Because the only addiction that we should have is that we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And I want to tell you, if there's anything that stands in the way of our love for God, it's an addiction. And it needs to be broken. Because God has made it clear that if we're working out our lives, in the beginning of the Jesus movement, they invested the simple idea to love one another. Jesus' followers were able to influence a culture so profoundly paganistic that you can't imagine a world that was fully paganistic. Read the book of Corinth. And that church was so, had the culture of the age in which it lived, and yet God was able to break into paganism because they were led by the Spirit and they were controlled and compelled by God's great love. The greatest transformation was that God's love went into a world which was full of paganism. It was a commitment to love against characteristics in our lives to have an influence and impact in the culture in which we lived. We need to be transformed. Romans 12 verse 1 says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." God wants us to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And I tell you, every morning, I say to God every morning, before I get out of bed, "Father, will you lead me by your Spirit today and not by my flesh?" Because as a human being, I can be so transfixed with what's going around me. I need to be led by the Spirit of God to make an impact in a world in which I find myself in. It is a commitment to God. We're now finished. Finally. But I want to leave you with these questions. How central is the love of God and for others in your life? How central is it? Is the very being of our lives to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves? What part of our belief plays in the influence we have on other people? What challenges are you likely to encounter tomorrow as you go to work? And it won't be easy to impact your boss, to impact your fellow workers. How different are we? Are we people who are known to be people who wound people? Or we can throw scriptures galore at them? Or are we people who, as well as being truthful people, are graceful people? That we stand by what we believe. There will be no compromise. Our moral decisions will be moral. Our sexual decisions will be sexual decisions in the way that God planned it. Our ethos about loving people, whether they be black or white. Will we make an impact in the people in which we are going to come into tomorrow? Because we are people who can say we are Christians. Because we're followers of Jesus. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. But we also love our neighbors as ourselves. There are 10 questions which, unfortunately, Katie has been poorly this week, so your back page hasn't been given this week. But we will send it out during the week as an email. We intend to make the internet available for people who want prayer. And in the next week or two, it's going to go live where people can actually put in a prayer request on our internet and it will filter straight through to us. And then we'll be sending the prayer requests out. We want to make an impact on the people's lives. We're saying to people that God loves you. I want to say, if you don't know God's love this morning, you're missing out. I can only entreat you to know God's amazing love. God loves you right where you are. Right where you are. God died that you might go free this morning. God wants to have a relationship with you. And as we finally close, I want to ask you this question. How much has God's love really impacted on your life? How much? Are we Christians because we know that we needed a Savior, but that's where it ends? That's as much as our Christianity. That's as much as we want. I know I'm a sinner, therefore, and I know I need Jesus into my heart, therefore, I asked Jesus to forgive me, and the moment he did, he came into my heart, and I'm a Christian. Because God has promised the day that we confess our sins, he will come in and he will save us, and he will create a relationship with us. But your Christianity may stay there. I want to ask you, how much has God's love impacted upon your life? Has it gone beyond, I'm just being saved? Does it have an impact in the person that I'm going to meet tomorrow? When we see things like A21, sexual slavery, and you all got a, hopefully got a text on the 21st of every month, you get a text to say, pray against the slavery. I wonder how much of an impact it does hurt on us when we see the injustice of this world. Do I want to make a difference in the world in which I live? Do I? Or am I comfortable just being a Christian? The series has ended, but it must end with a challenge to us. Do we want to change the world in which we live by telling them there's a God who loves them? Do we want to stand up for injustice? We have raised money. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to hold a big breakfast. Because we want to try and raise some money for it to help poor people. We're going to show you a video clip just now. You see, to me, being a Christian, it's not just having Jesus in my heart as my Savior, but it's having Jesus in my heart and making him Lord. That whatever he does, that whatever he says, I will surrender to his will. Now, if that means staying here and you have to suffer with me till I retire, then that's what it means. But if he says tomorrow go, I'll go. We sang a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I hope you do. Because I believe we can change Pipe Hayes for the glory of God. I believe that you can make an impact when you go to work tomorrow. Because you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside you. I believe that your friends and your non-Christian friends can see an impact in your life because you know Jesus. I pray that we will change Pipe Hayes for God. I pray the day will come when the whole of Valley State up there will know that God loves them, that God died for them, that God gave his life that they might have life in all its abundance, and that they will look at this church and they will say that, yeah, they have their standards, but boy, don't they love each other? Haven't they impacted love? It starts with this church loving one another. Finally, there's a final. The way this church is going to move is when we love one another. It's when we understand that we all worship differently. But grace says, worship in the way God has given you. That when people are out of job, we'll try and help them. That we'll be a family who loves. That we will impact them. That if somebody comes in here next Sunday and it doesn't dress the way that we would think they should be dressed, that grace says to us, God loves them. They come in with a different belief. We say, God loves you. This is our standards. This is our belief. We will not waver from that fact. But we love you. And we want you to know that God loves you. And God wants to change you. God wants to transform your life. I ask you this morning, I need God's transformation. I believe you need God's transformation. Every day of every day, I believe we need to know more of the power of his love.